Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, Happy New Year. Gamertag Radio live here in North Carolina. And I have a couple of special guests, but first, Paris and P, Happy New Year, man. 2019. Happy New Year. it sounds like you're not too thrilled about 2019, man.
Not New Year yet.
Well, technically, this is coming out in 2019, so it is the new year for those who are listening to the podcast. But anyways, whatever.
It's the future.
Future. You jumped in the flux capacitor.
Yes. So yeah, we have Pete in
What's
the
up,
house.
Man?
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
Good. 2018, man. Good year?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's been one of our best.
And 2019, what you think?
It's gonna be trash.
Okay, it's gonna be trash.
Set the bar.
I don't know what that's about.
I'm kidding. No, 2019 I think is gonna be it's gonna be an amazing year for gamers. There's so many titles coming up. Can't even keep count.
It's scary. I think in one day, February 15th. There's like, what, five games coming out? Four mm-hmm. games coming out at the same time?
Only one matters, but yeah.
Wait, what do you mean only one matters? There's going to be a couple. There's going to be more than one that's decent. That's not that bad.
Hey, how about y'all stop hogging the mic and let other people talk?
All right, I'm just saying. Oh, my God.
You got a nice voice.
All right, so we have a couple of special guests here. Let's start with the first one here.
All right, I guess I introduce myself. My name is Tony Polanco.
Yes.
You know, happy to be on, man. I think this is like maybe my second time being on. It's been a while. I think you maybe had a clip of me somewhere.
No, I think it's the second time. I can't remember when was the first.
Yeah, but either way, I'm happy to be here, you know, chilling with you guys in North Carolina. It's very rare when we actually get together like this, so it's special, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And also, we have a special guest here.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Khalif Adams from the Spawn on Me podcast. How are you all doing?
How you doing, man? He's always recording with us.
Yeah, I've got a word. I need to figure out a way to get y'all on my damn show.
Yes, man.
I love how you have to figure out a way to get on your show. Make it happen.
I mean,
yeah, it's your show.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's hard when I have like three cats who are like, I have a Hall of Famer in the room. I have Paris Lilly with a blue check. I'm nobody.
Wow.
I got Pete Rock running like four miles a day. I'm like, I'm trying to get y'all when I can get y'all. It's, you know, it's busy. This is busy, but I'm always happy to chill with y'all, brothers. I love y'all. You know that.
All right. And we have also a third guest here. And this is surprising, but go ahead, man. Present yourself.
My name's Andrew McMahon. I'm from Twinfinite, mm-hmm. better known as Yami's Company.
Yes.
First time, so please be gentle.
We definitely got to talk about this. We were talking about arcades in Miami.
Yeah.
And you said, my boss. I'm always flying to, you know, I flew to Miami.
Yeah.
Got to play at Odyssey. I'm like, man, it's like right by my house. Well, I used to live around the area. And then you mentioned Yami. I was super surprised. Like, oh my God,
Pretty common name.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So that's cool, man. How long you been working with?
I've been working there for about 3 months now. I was in the industry at the Nerd Stash for about 2 months or about 2 years before that.
Okay.
And a lot of it's just been of my own volition, going out and writing stuff for free. But I'm finally making it a little. Yeah. Hanging out with big shots like you guys. Going to Ubisoft events.
Yeah, man.
No, I made it big now.
Yeah. So we were having a great conversation about games in 2018, especially Red Dead. And I think we should definitely start with that conversation first, man. Red Dead, Tony, I know, look, you're wearing a Red Dead Redemption t-shirt. You're loving the game.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say something controversial. It's my personal game of the generation. Entire generation. I feel this generation has been good, but not great, you know. But this game, it reminds me of why I fell in love with video games. Like, you know, it just immerses me in the world. And just like, there's been so many open world games this generation. I'm getting sick of them. This reminded me why I love that specific type of game, you know. It just really draws you in. Like, Rockstar put so much detail into it, you know. And I understand some of the criticisms. I'm not going to, you know, deny any of that stuff. But for me, like, the characters, the world, the immersion can't be beat. That's the stuff I look for in games, you know. I know the online is a little iffy or whatever. But to me, online and gaming, this might be a little controversial too. That's the I don't know if I could curse, right?
No, you can't curse.
Okay. It's a fortune cookie. If the fortune cookie sucks, I don't care because the meal was good. You know, but yeah, to me, Red Dead, like the characters, Arthur Morgan, the character of the year for me, man. He is like amazing.
Man, of this generation, to me, I know everybody's going to have their opinion. So far has been Witcher.
The 100%. Witcher
game. Yeah, 100%.
You know, I think, so why do you think Red Dead is better than The Witcher?
Yeah, see, I'm glad you say that because people tell me you need to play The Witcher. I haven't gotten to The Witcher.
Oh, okay.
You know, because that was 2015, right? That came out close to Batman. I'm like, okay, I got two big open world games. I'm going to choose one. So I went with Batman.
Yeah.
Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight, yeah.
But you know how it is, man. You want to go back to play these games, but you're like, yo, when am I going to have time for this? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, I know Red Dead just hits everything that I want. You know, the attention to detail. Like Rockstar, like there's a reason to me why they make the best open world games. You know, it doesn't feel like you're doing just like a bunch of checklist stuff. You know, it's great. I understand, you know, some people don't like the controls. They feel it's too slow or whatever, like too slow paced. But to me, like if you're playing a game that's like a Western 1899, things weren't going fast back then anyway. You know, I'm not trying to say that games need to be realistic to be good because I kind of feel the opposite. Like if, you know, games should be fun primarily, but if you're trying to build that type of world, you know, you need to be authentic with it. And things were just slow back then.
I'm still dumbfounded at the name of Red Dead. But hey, that's a subjective opinion. You're entitled to it. Wrong, but I mean, no, I mean, like Danny, you know, Danny alluded, I would probably put Witcher 3 as that, you know, I'm that is the game that for me cemented, if anything, CDPR as putting them on that pedestal, putting them in that Mount Rushmore of developers, like you said, attention to detail, the map. The storyline, it's now becoming a movie, or it's becoming a Netflix series now with Henry Cavill as Geralt. Game of the generation. We're not talking TV series of the generation. That I don't think we're going to see anything. I don't think we're going to. Yeah. Well, as long as he does that little arm pump flex thing with the sleeves, you know.
What about his mustache, though? You think they're going to CGI that?
Absolutely. It's going to be white, though. It's going to be all CGI white. The white.
It's funny. I never even noticed that, honestly, until people mentioned it.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, again, I haven't played Red Dead. I'm still, you know, I'm going to be that dead set of bones on the couch waiting for it to come to PC, and I'm sticking by my guns. You know, I had the naysayers come out and tell me, oh, you'll be there playing it. You know, I finally convinced Paris to come over to my side of the couch, and I'm cool with that. But you did come over to my side of the couch. Don't even lie.
You said you convinced me. You didn't. You did it on my own. But on this category, because I did walk out earlier, so I just came back. So you're saying what your game of the generation was for you was Red Dead, right?
Yeah, for me.
So everybody knows, I think it's Witcher 3 that's listening to this. So I don't even need to go over that. But I'm going to say something, not that's controversial, but a game that I think people don't talk enough about that was very impactful to this generation of gaming, and Horizon Zero Dawn. Horizon Zero Dawn was a fantastic game. No one saw coming out of Guerrilla Games for what it wind up being. I mean, yeah, people said, oh, it took elements from Far Cry and this and that. But you know what? When you add that story in together, you add in that open world, and you, because we were having this discussion the other day offline, how it started off very small. Her world was so tiny, the things around her, by the time, I'm not going to spoil anything, but by the time you get to the end of that game, just how vast her entire world and just life had changed. Fantastic. Like, I, you know, obviously you throw in the DLC that went with it and what the eventual sequel is going to be. I think when we look back at this generation, it's going to be one of the most more impactful games that we've had. Definitely in the top five.
Top five. For you guys?
I mean, we're just going to go around the table and say The Witcher 3 constantly, because The Witcher, I'm a little biased in the sense that I've read all the books. I played The Witcher 2, and so I was a little before a lot of people that would have played it. But just when it comes down to the sheer scope, the stories, the amount of time that they put into the stuff that isn't even necessary to do, like the side missions, the people you interact with, the voice acting, just the pure passion that you can see that CD Projekt Red had for it. And then you add on the two DLCs that were games in and of themselves. I mean, I could play The Witcher 3 probably for the rest of my life and be satisfied just because of how much content is in that.
Blood and Wine alone. Just you forget the rest of the game. You see, just start playing at Blood and Wine as entirely its own game.
Olgierd, yeah. The Gontro Dim, everything yeah. about yeah. that. Just the I've looked into so many just essays and concepts and just things behind the story of it and things that people have looked into and just not understood it. There's just so many layers to it that you don't even see on the surface until, and that's just how detailed that game is. It's ridiculous.
100% agree.
My not game of the generation is Red Dead Redemption. It is not even in my top 10 of games. You can look at me all you want like that with a stink face.
I've never played it, so I'm just your stankness about it is what I'm shocked at.
I'm just bringing the truth to the fire. No. But, thinking of games of the generation, I think of stuff like Mafia 3. I feel like a lot of people overlook that game. Like games that spoke to me in real ways mm-hmm. this year. Mm-hmm. God of War was fantastic. People yeah. seem to kind of really kind of overlook that, even though they won game, you know, a game award and all that other good stuff. Smaller games like Dead Cells, I think, is a game that people continuously overlook as well. Like people haven't paid attention to how good that game is. And like, honestly, like I was trying to figure out and writing my top 10 games of the year lists this year. Mm-hmm. And because December has been so crazy with adding new games to the roster, like I had to stop and try to figure out where I was going to put Grease in the list. And yo, Grease really? Is probably my game of the year.
Yeah, it's up there.
Like,
man.
Grease is probably my game of the year. Yep. And people will front on that game because it's... Because
it came out now in December.
Because it came out late. Yeah. And it's also, it's fairly simple. And it has simplistic parts to that game that kind of push you forward. Mm-hmm. But emotionally, the tone of that game is spot on. It has some of the most fantastic art that I've seen in a generation. And if you want to talk about generational strides,
I feel like... What, PC or Nintendo Switch?
I played it on PC.
It looks fantastic on the Switch.
It looks great on Switch. Yeah. It looks great on Switch. It looks fantastic. Like, it is one of those things that when you sit down with it and you take the time to kind of like just be part of that game, it is an experience that I have not had mm-hmm. in most things
I
in this year.
I think the closest maybe Journey. The closest.
It is literally that. I haven't mm-hmm. felt that way since Journey. Mm-hmm. And there are very few games that can get into those parts of the list. In real ways because of where that spot.
I'm happy that you mentioned that because I know if I would have mentioned people like, oh, the game just came out. I get it. It's, well, what happened? You going to say
continue,
that?
Please.
No, I'm just saying like, look, like I you know, earlier I was telling you that I took a break and I was going through some stuff and yep. that was one of the games that to me was like life changing, man. You yep. know, it helped me so much during my time off, you know? So I'm glad that you and I know a lot of other people have been giving it great reviews, great feedback. Grease.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so into that game being yeah. what it is. I just held up my phone to the people in the room because I have a Grease wallpaper
on it. Give it a chance, try it out, and you see why we love it so much. Yeah. You know? So,
thing I wanted to bring it up, and apologies if I'm shifting this in a direction that you discussed when you hurt my feelings and I walked out early. But you're talking just generation, this whole console gaming generation that we've had. We're at the back end of it now. So when you look back at it as a whole, is it fair to say mm-hmm. that, and I'm not trying to start a console debate or anything like that, but is it fair to say that PlayStation, the titles that they've put out as a publisher during this generation has really set the bar to a new level for what we expect for when I'm talking AAA games. Because, I mean, again, Uncharted 4, God of War, I mean, you know, just go down the line. Or like I said, Horizon mm-hmm. Zero Dawn, et cetera, Spider-Man, you know, you right. just keep going down the list. But I almost feel like, especially after 2018, my expectations have been raised. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to throw Microsoft under the bus or whatever, but mm-hmm. they've not even come close to the quality of titles that we've seen from PlayStation.
Yeah, and if they do, it's like maybe one or
Nintendo has, absolutely. Because, well, I mean, you look at Odyssey, Zelda, et cetera.
You know when it changed for PlayStation? I think it was during the end of PlayStation 3.
No, it did.
The Last of Us, really Uncharted, or like around that time. And they took a lot of those first-party games, added to the next generation console, plus added some new IPs, so far has been fantastic. And it was that. But I think that happened was because they were in second place. Microsoft came really hard during last gen.
Mm.
And they just came back hungry and boof, look now.
Yeah.
You know? So
I like the way you frame that because the way I've been thinking about the kind of, you know, end of 2018, kind of pushing to 2019 and where we see the big three kind of landing. Like, you're absolutely right, Danny, about kind of PlayStation in the PlayStation 3 era and the, you know, 360 era, with them pulling up all these really interesting niche titles that came from weird third-party folks. Like Tokyo Studio was doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff with like Pomeranians and all this other stuff in the world running around with dogs and stuff, and all the kind of small games like Echo Chrome. We forget about the games like that and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they're continuing to kind of do some of those games now. And it's benefited them with having the kind of Naughty Dogs and the other folks in their roster. But it's interesting because I feel like towards the end of this generation, they have played it awfully safe when it comes to lots of things. And I feel like Microsoft doesn't get the credit for being innovative in spaces that we don't think about. Like, they've been innovative in hardware spaces. They've been innovative in spaces when it comes to how they want to pull people into their ecosystem through Game Pass and other stuff like that. Bringing on folks like EA with EA's Pass stuff too as well. EA Access and things like that. They've been really forward thinking when it comes to that stuff, and they've gotten none of the credit for it. You know what I mean? Like, it's been two companies I can think of that have really been pushing the boundaries. It's been Microsoft in a lot of ways, and it's been Epic Games in a lot of ways with Fortnite and crossplay and all those things that have been pushing out forward. So it's an interesting space that we find all those in. But I feel like Microsoft has not gotten the credit they deserve towards the end of the back end of
that's it. That's happening because, like I said about PlayStation, they were second place. Microsoft is in second place. And they're hungry. And when you're hungry in this competition, you're going to see those type of things.
Are they really in second place, though? Because you would think in 2018.
They sure as hell aren't in first place.
Why? We know that. That's why
Nintendo
I'm saying.
Switch, you think they're in third, Nintendo Switch right? is too new. It's not now. They're still in third, you know, but they're fine.
Are they though?
Yeah, they are. They are. They're not.
I don't know. I would think with the quality of titles that have come out with the Switch, the innovation with the hardware in and of itself, they make a case. I wouldn't say for number one, because I agree with Paris with that, with Sony setting that high bar now, mm-hmm. but Nintendo has, if not met, they have exceeded expectations.
But I do think we want to be careful in this conversation because, you know, again, I know people are listening to this and we're not trying to stoke the whole console war thing. It's not even really about a who's in first, second, third, or whatever. It's more of I'm looking at it as a gamer because I really could give two shits what platform I play it on. As a gamer, where am I getting – I get it.
Yeah.
You know, where am I getting these quality experiences from? And when I look back over this generation – gotten a lot of them that have come out of PlayStation. I've had a lot that have come out of Nintendo. I've had a lot that have come from third party, but PlayStation has been the leader in that space. They just have, you know. And another thing that I kind of want to throw in there, mm-hmm. you know, when we talk about AAA games and we look at how you have to hit a certain number to be considered a success because the prices of, you know, the cost of development to make these huge games have become so astronomical. I almost think as we shift into the next generation, you're going to see more of the Greases of the world and the more of these independent studios, especially now that we see, you know, especially on the PC side with the digital stores like a Discord and Epic, they're really incentivizing these smaller teams to come to us, be innovative with us. You're going to be able to keep more of your money in your pocket and not have to give it away to a publisher anymore. So if anything, sure, we're going to keep AAA games. They're not going to go away, but I think we're going to see more of the AA indie type games really start to get a shine in the next generation of gaming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, going not really a competition in terms of like 1, 2, 3, but just the way that I look at Microsoft and Xbox's future is they just seem like they're, like you said, they are in second place and they have the motivation to want to get back to the top. They've added those new studios. They're doing everything with Game Pass. It just seems like Sony and PlayStation get complacent when they're in first or whatever you want to call it.
History says it, yeah.
Right, and then it comes out, they get kicked, and then they have to do the same thing they did with the PS3 and make a comeback, and that's how we get all these other titles. But the only thing that I can think of that's on the horizon for PlayStation, not I don't even know because the release date is kind of up in the air. The Last of Us 2 is the only title that I can think of that's a future PlayStation title that I'm interested in that we even know a name of. But when it comes to Xbox, it seems like they're doing a lot more and they're incentivizing a lot more things to win people over than Sony and PlayStation are. Which
waste though. Think about it. I mean, the same way with, you know, the studio titles that we saw coming out of Sony, Microsoft had to take that next step. Ninja Theory acquisition was probably their biggest one. And now we've got Obsidian coming on board as well. It's going to be a while until we actually see, you know, plausible product out on out on shelves. And then we'll see if all of these moves, but like Khalif said, the hardware stuff, adaptive controller brings tears to my eyes from day one because I've got, you know, a special needs nephew. And so, and you know, Ninja was cutting onions in the hallway when I saw the commercial on TV. So little things like that, little nuances that we're all picking up on for them. Hey, at the end of the day, all of us here in this room and everybody listening right now is going to be the winner in this entire space over the next 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, I was going to jump on something you said. You're right about what Microsoft is doing. Like, yeah, they're not pumping out as many, like, you know, big games out there, but they're doing a lot of stuff with software that, like, a lot of people aren't doing. You know, like, we're actually getting a kind of crossplay between all their systems, which is kind of interesting. And then going back to what you said about Sony, they still have Ghost of Tsushima, Days Gone, that's coming. But what do they really have in 2019, you know? They're not even going to E3. You know, they're not, maybe they're not going to have PSX. We're not really sure. So, yeah, you kind of see that complacency. And we saw what happened last generation, you know, when they got there.
We can look forward to another confusing commercial trailer for, you know, for Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I really think, you know, and I'm saying this as a Sony guy myself, you got to watch out for Microsoft next generation. Like, at this E3, it proved to us that they're sending all the pieces for a really dope next gen. This generation's done. Like, I know there's some guys on the internet like, oh yeah, they're gonna come back then up and close the gap. No, you're not.
They're done.
Here's the interesting part about that, right? And after this quick statement, I wanted to shift something to something else I just thought of. But even with them not being able to kind of grasp all the space that they could have in this generation, talking about Microsoft, this last month of 2018, they put out some bangers in 2018 at the end of it. Ashen is fantastic. Below dropped, you know, as we're today. Recording this.
Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of in terms of PlayStation stuff that's probably not going to get shown in this year, but I'm super excited for, is still Dreams. I'm still excited about that game, even though people are like, "Nah, don't talk about that game. It's not going to do anything." I think in the same way that we see the adaptive controller have this kind of impact in a space that we didn't expect to have, I feel like if Media Molecule can figure out a way to promote this game and to market it in a way that people will see it for what it can be, I think it can be a transformative game in the space. Like, I think about when we talk about games of a generation, I think Dreams can be that thing if it is put into a space that can see it flourish. I think it is absolutely the Lego blocks for your child to get into game development. Like, I think that's going to be a thing that people are going to, if they can pay attention to that, I think it can change the way that Twitch Creative looks in ways that we haven't thought about before. Like, there are spaces in there that you can use this game to be so many different things. But the thing that sparked from the conversation that you had before this was in terms of not just the big three, but publishers who are doing fantastic jobs as well. Like, I got to give mad props to Devolver, who is consistently putting out hits. AI Interactive, Annapurna Interactive, their portfolio is so rock solid. They have not put out a bad game yet. Like, that is very rare to see. Like, a company be able to like, yo, well, a company just like, yo, all of our joints are bangers. I don't see them going away and making not good games, or at least pushing good games on every kind of platform, on iOS, on console, and on PC. Like, that's an interesting space. I'm curious to know what you folks are thinking about in terms of other pubs that are doing fairly good work and have been pushing the kind of boundaries and envelope.
Man, that's a very good question. When you say publishers as a whole, I mean, I guess we got to go keep going back to Epic, right? I mean, Epic, if you think about Epic 18 months ago, wasn't on nobody's radar. Nobody was thinking about Epic. Epic was, I remember two E3s ago, we're there. They had a room upstairs, just a little meeting room. And not that they were begging, but they were like, hey, want to come check out our Fortnite game? And I remember, and I was like, yeah, Pete went. And I went up there and just watched Pete play Fortnite. And this was before they ever said anything about VR. At that time, PUBG was all the big hotness. And then shortly after that, they rolled out their Battle Royale. And look where we are now. When you think of the top publisher right now, it's Epic. It absolutely is. That game has gone beyond our community and our industry of people. Our grandmas are talking about Fortnite. You know, it's evolved into hip. It's everywhere, you know, and it's more than just a game now. It's a phenomenon. How long that lasts, we don't know, but they're making so much money off of that game. It's given Epic power in the space to innovate and to push the direction of things. Like one of you slightly mentioned it earlier, they are the reason we're getting crossplay. Because of that game, because of them, because it was so popular, people are like, well, why the hell can't I play with my friends just because I'm on a Switch and you're on an Xbox or a PlayStation or whatever? And it's going to push the whole industry forward that we're going to stop worrying so much about who has an Xbox, who has a PlayStation, who has a ColecoVision. It's not going to matter. Now, as long as you got an internet connection, you just go play the games.
It's all about the games. Yeah. And thanks, Drake, for making it popular and cool.
Thanks, Drake.
But you know what, though? Man. He does deserve credit because of his popularity and who he is. Yeah. By him jumping on that stream with Ninja, it brought in a whole new section of people and opened a whole more eyeballs on that game. That's just fact. I mean, you know, we can laugh about it all we want, but it is true.
To me, the most interesting thing about it is just the entire, like, timeline of it, because like you said before, it was a joke starting out how Fortnite was, and then just how Epic played their cards so openly, but they just did it so well. Like, they even said, yeah, we're essentially copying PUBG, but we're just doing it for free.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Try to sue us? It didn't really work. I mean, we even are part of the team, like part of our team is part of PUBG's team. It's such a fascinating cycle that just proves the worth of marketing and the worth of word of mouth and everything that happened, because early this year, all you could talk about was PUBG and how they were setting these concurrent player records and all these things. They're getting blown out of the water by Fortnite right now.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily like it. I know it's this, like, I'm getting old type of like mindset of like, oh, all the kids are flossing and all this stuff, but it's working because they're, like I said, they're playing their cards right and they're doing everything right.
You know, one of the things that Epic has that keeps it so popular is their flexibility. They're able to iterate on that game literally on the fly. Hell, Thanos was at it earlier this year. I mean, they doing the NFL. I mean, NFL tapped out on it, but they were able to, oh, this is cool, throw it in the game.
Their pop culture game is on point.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, going back to the whole thing I said two E3s ago, they were upstairs in a meeting room. This E3, they had a big, giant VIP party that I was like, man, I wish I could go. You know what I'm saying? It's like all that flipping in less than a year.
And I like how they do the special live events that at a certain time you could check out Explosion or something and be part of the experience. And everybody's logging at the same time. That happens once in a while. But it's cool. We never get to see that in gaming that much. You know, and they're, to me, like one of the first ones for this generation to see that.
Yeah.
You know, so I know you mentioned publishers.
It could almost be said that Fortnite is the game of the generation because
game of the year.
Well, game of the generation, I think, it was more significant simply because it's like you said, the impact, how it's touched. The gentleman that led us into this meeting room. He's like, I've never played a video game. He's like, but my granddaughter plays Fortnite, right? And when he was asking what we're doing, and I think Tony mentioned it earlier, you've got grandparents and you've got young adults and you've got business professionals, people on a subway or on a bus playing it.
Ellen,
it's
talks about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yo, my mom was like, the way you say it, juego Fortnite. Oh. Like, it's like that. You know?
It's like, you know, you've made it.
Go for it.
Most interesting part about that for me is the accessibility.
Yeah.
Because like you mentioned before, crossplay,
but people play that on mobile.
Oh, yeah.
When was the last game that you can think of that was also a console game that people also played on mobile or mobile in general? And that's people enjoy it on mobile.
Yeah.
And that it works on mobile.
And yeah. It's still connected to your account, so you can still
right. I had that conversation with my friend the other night. Like, the barriers aren't really there with Fortnite. Like, for example, you'd be like, hey, man, I'm playing this game Fortnite. Why don't you play with me? I don't have the money right now. Yeah, it's free. Oh, okay, but, you know, you got a PlayStation and I got an Xbox. Okay, whatever. You know, we could play together. It's like, oh, well, I don't have an Xbox. Okay, you got a Switch? Play there. Oh, I don't have a console. Play it on your phone. Like, the barriers are, like, unbroken. What you said, it's interesting. Like, obviously, my personal favorite game is Red Dead, but objectively speaking, I'm not even going to question what game had the most impact this generation, you know? And it's crazy because this only happened within the last year.
Yeah.
Think about that, you know? That kind of speaks to, you know, like, in gaming, people love to make predictions and all that. You never know what's going to happen, you know, and this is proof of that.
At all. And it's funny because, like, as Paris mentioned, 2 years ago at E3, I'm sitting in there playing with the developers. There's nobody in the room. And it's me and three of the developers playing Fortnite, the single player version of it, because, you know, BR wasn't, you know, maybe it might have been, you know, a thought, you know, or maybe they were working on it and they didn't want to tell us. But to go to see the passion that the folks at Epic have towards that game in general, just from, you know, the fort building and you know, literally it's a survival game, you know, and then seeing the transition, it's sad to see what has happened to what the original intent for Fortnite was, because there was so much promise. But seeing now what they're able to do and how they're continuing to iterate and give new features, new functionality. They just got rid of the theater to give the grid, the block or something like that, which now features content creators to be able to, you know, to highlight and showcase what they're doing. It's going to be momentous to see what actually surpasses Epic and what Fortnite is doing.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
And a quick word from one of our sponsors, Simple Contacts. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contacts lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. So how does it work? You need to renew that prescription. Take the 5-minute Simple Contacts vision test online and it'll be reviewed by a licensed doctor. You'll receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. Even if you're totally out of contacts, they've got an option for you too. So why is Simple Contacts so awesome? It's a live read, folks. First of all, this is vision care for the 21st century because of its convenience. There are a million things demanding your time. Contact lenses should not be one of them. It's fast. The Simple Contacts vision test is self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes. It's reliable. It's designed by ophthalmologists and licensed doctor reviews every test so you can skip the office visit, but not the care. It is also a 5-star experience. The reviews speak for themselves. Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 5,000 times on the App Store. It offers choice. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around to find your lenses at the best price. And most importantly, it saves you money. The vision test is only $20. Compare that with an appointment without any insurance. It could cost you up to $200. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, we're offering a promotion to our GTR listeners. Now, disclaimer. Remember, folks, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. Just keep that in mind. But if you want to go check this out, go to our URL, simplecontacts.com/GTR, and enter our promo code for that $20 offer, GTR. Again, that is simplecontacts.com/GTR. Use our promo code for that $20 offer, which is GTR. That's Simple Contacts.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Let me ask you that. I was thinking about this too. Do you think this game is going to continue that momentum into next year?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Absolutely.
And especially now that content creators could create like their own levels.
Yeah. Their stuff is going to be featured in games.
Dude,
that's random.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Because you know how gamers forget about stuff really quickly. Like, I agree with you. I think it's going to keep on going, you know?
Yeah. And I even might see this game continue with the next generation consoles too. I could see that.
Yeah. Right about that.
Yeah.
You asked a real good question because that's another thing I definitely want to talk about. What's the...
The look you have.
Like, what is he about to say now? Oh,
no, I'm excited. No, I'm excited. It's a great conversation. I'm really in tune to this. This is a dope
That's
conversation.
I love when we're all together because the facial expression is fantastic. But what I was going to say was I'm very curious what all you guys think. What's the future? Because, I mean, like we talked about, we've seen Microsoft has really ramped up their infrastructure. Like, they're really pushing the services and basically making games more of a subscription type of thing than what we've been used to in the past. We know new hardware is coming, but we've also seen, and again, it's funny, like, Microsoft has really been the leader in this, not so much PlayStation or Nintendo, but Microsoft is basically saying, I don't care what hardware you bring to the party. I just want you in our ecosystem playing our games. And is that where we're headed? Is it really going to matter how powerful the next Xbox or the next PlayStation is going to be? Or is it going to matter more that we actually innovate with the games that are being made? If that makes sense, what I'm saying.
This next generation to me is going to be kind of like Fortnite with crossplay and Nintendo Switch on the go. I say like that. Yes, you have an option to buy the most powerful console, they just say, right? But hey, if you have a mobile phone, you can still continue playing. Power doesn't really matter. What matters is the access and the gaming experience. That's what's gonna happen in next generation.
Yeah, you guys Switch, agree or yeah, no? Yeah, no, the Switch proved that powers and everything. Think about it. You have the Xbox One X, literally the most powerful console on the planet Earth, not selling like that. You know, like, Switch is gonna overtake Xbox next year, right? The graphics aren't all that, but the games are there and the services. People want to take these games on the go. And I'm thinking this may be a little crazy. Like, maybe Sony and Microsoft may go along the same route. They've copied Nintendo before, you know? Like, think about it, and you've heard this conversation before. People are like, oh, man, like, I love Red Dead. I wish I could take it on the go. Switch has, like, acclimated their minds to that. So it's possible. I don't know how the hell they're going to do it, but you may get, like, a console you plug into your TV, play it traditionally, and you take it on Subway.
Well,
you know?
Microsoft... They're already doing it that without.
Yeah, you can play with phone, on your phone. Yeah,
but
yeah.
They don't have to create a device for that. They just depend on Apple and Android, Samsung, and then you could still play it. Even I even mentioned this to the guys on the podcast that I could see them going on stage during an Apple press conference and say, "You could play Xbox on Apple TV." Like, I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a little bit of that happen already with. Well, first of all, Microsoft, even 4 years back or so, a couple of GDCs back, when Phil first got on stage and was like, this is what we want to do with Azure, and we want to do all these things with the cloud. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure all that stuff, and then Crackdown crapped on itself with the cloud. And you see it now, even with other companies kind of jumping into the fold too, right? We see Google doing their thing with Project Stream, that being a huge part of at least a forethought in their ecosystem of how they want to kind of incorporate games into their overall stack and platform, mm-hmm. where, you know, you can play Assassin's Creed in a browser and it plays fairly well. Like, you can do that stuff now.
Or what about this? Mm-hmm. Samsung TV. They have a great relationship with Microsoft. You could play their Xbox games.
And Epic.
And Epic.
Because look, I have a Samsung TV, and they show like all the apps when you connect the devices.
Mm-hmm.
They show PlayStation there, like regular, the Nintendo when you connect to there, the Switch is like the similar app.
Mm-hmm.
When you connect the Xbox, it's like a special app that pops up. So I could see them doing like, you could play Xbox through this app on Samsung without getting the console and just playing it there.
That's 100% where they're going with the cloud stuff.
Just
absolutely.
Bluetooth with a controller, and that's it. And we talked about this behind the scenes, that it all started when they announced Xbox One S Bluetooth without controller. That was a game changer right there, because now you could connect that to anything.
Right. Yeah, the Bluetooth thing. It was a tiny little thing at the time. You're like, okay, Bluetooth, whatever. Again, they're thinking way ahead. Of mm-hmm. where they were. Let's get this controller in everyone's hand. It has Bluetooth. So when we're ready to do our cloud thing, oh no, that controller that you've been sitting on for the past 3 years, Hook it up to your iPad and keep on going.
I want to shift a little bit because I think that's really important. I wonder, since we're talking about hardware and where Microsoft is kind of dragging everybody else kind of into the future. Do we feel that Nintendo's going to make a secondary Switch, or a new iteration on their Switch?
Yes, 100% they are.
Yes,
that's guaranteed.
Two, do we think that PS4 or the new PS5, whatever it's going to wind up being called, do you think they're going to wait until Microsoft drops their stuff, or are they going to go early? And third, do you think any of the consoles, when they come out, will have any VR, AR integration stuff?
Okay. Let me, I got to take this first.
Okay.
So I absolutely think that PlayStation will go first, because I think they're going to say something in 2019 on, here is PlayStation 5. Here's what you can expect, you know, blah, 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 the whole thing. That's part of the reason why they're skipping E3, and they're going to do it at the end of 2019 before Microsoft actually says anything official about their console. I also think PlayStation. I love the facial expressions. It's so good.
I'm being quiet.
I know you are. I know you are. Oh, yeah, yeah, because he don't agree with me. So I also think there is no way that whatever PlayStation 5 is will be over $399. I think that bar has been set. I think it has been a proven seller for them from the PS4 and the Pro. Why mess with a good thing? That thing's going to be $399. This is, again, where I talk about, are we really sure that power matters? They're going to do whatever they got to do to make sure that thing stays the same price, because it's consistency. It's what consumers expect. Going on to your second question, I don't think either one of them are going to jump into the AR/VR space next time. I don't. I've thought for a long time that technology wasn't mature enough yet. I haven't seen what VR 2.0 looks like. What is the killer app that makes me want to jump into VR? I've still not seen it. You know, it's cool. Like, I've done the Minecraft and all that. It's cool when you do it for a few minutes, but long term, I've never seen it. So I think they're better off putting their resources into what works and other infrastructure things versus trying to force VR into the, I mean, if you really think about it, Microsoft at first, when they were coming out with the 1S and the 1X, when it was concept stuff, they were pushing, oh, VR, we're going to do all that.
Crickets.
Gone. No, and HoloLens is becoming more of a
corporate research technology.
Exactly,
thing.
Versus a consumer product. So I think PlayStation VR stays with PS4. I don't think it moves on to PS5. And I'll say this one last thing, and I'll shut up because I know everybody else wants to say something. Mm-hmm. I also think that if PlayStation 5 cannot, at a minimum, play every PS4 game that you own, massive failure by them. Because we already know Microsoft is going to come to the party. We're like, bring everything with you. We already know they're going to do that. So PlayStation, I get with the cell processor, we can't do this, we can't do that. But PS4 is x86. There is no excuse for them to not have PS4 games on the PS5.
So why does Nintendo get that pass and everybody says, it's Nintendo, I'll just go ahead and have to rebuy?
You know why? I'm talking too much, but I'm saying it anyways, because we've had this discussion many times, because it's Nintendo. Nintendo is their own thing. Nintendo does not care what Microsoft, Sony, anyone else does. Nintendo is Nintendo. Nintendo says, you know what? We are the best developer in the world. We have a track record that goes back over 30 years of quality games. And you are going to be dumb enough to pay for them 3 and 4 times, and we're going to keep doing it. Because it's the truth. Because it's true.
Or they start adding those games, the Nintendo Online service.
Because what did you tell me the other day that had me jumping up and down that Nintendo is going to put on the Switch?
Super Mario 3.
Just throw all my money at it. I'm just going to go get it again like a dummy, because
it's for free for those that signed up for the online services. They're free. You can play it, you know? So, but I disagree that Sony is going to announce their console first on Microsoft. They're not going to go to E3, maybe PlayStation Experience. That's the end of the year. But why? I think that Microsoft at their press conference will do the same thing and announce their console at their press conference at E3. First in PlayStation. And they're going to release their console first in PlayStation. Now, I don't know the price. I do agree. I hope it's $399, but do you agree or not? They're going to E3, so they have an opportunity to promote it.
I mean, I see what you mean, and that could make a lot of sense that they do it similar to what they did a couple years ago when it's Project Whatever, and they have like some
Durango.
Yeah, they have a little, teaser trailer thing with concept stuff with developers coming up there. The power that Microsoft is giving us to, but you know, they can do that whole thing. So it's at least on people's minds, but they're not going to officially unveil, here's the console, here's what it looks like, here's the price. They're not doing that till 2020. But like you're saying, PlayStation probably does the same thing at PSX. So in that vein, yeah, you probably
PlayStation
right.
has an opportunity to go all out and talk about the system or save it and do like a special event in New York City in February.
Yeah, that's my thinking. It's kind of interesting. I kind of agree with both of you, but on different things. I think Microsoft is going to come out the gate first. I don't think Sony's going to announce it 2019. I got a reason for that. Back when the PlayStation 4 was announced, right? It was announced in February, like you said, in New York, and then released that year. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do that this time around, 2020, right? And I agree with you. We talked about this $399. You can't go over that. That is the topmost. And I realized that, you know, that's kind of cheap if you compare it to old consoles. Like $399 back in the day was more expensive than it is now, right? But people have that mental thing. It's like $399, that's too expensive, you know?
But here's the difference. At that time, it was not 4K. 4K consoles are expensive, man, for both PlayStation and for Xbox. Do you think they're not going to put it at maybe $499?
No, that's too much. No one's going to buy that.
So if they both say $499, everybody here is still going to buy it.
Oh, whoa, whoa, hold on. Whoa, whoa.
Or PlayStation, okay, well, or you go with Xbox.
Yeah. That's a different thing if they both say that. Because think about it. If one comes out with $499, the other's going to say $399. We saw it already, right? But I don't know about that. That's still a little too much, man. I don't know, son.
Yeah, what you think?
I just think Xbox is, like we said, they're not sitting on their heels, kind of like Sony is. And this has a lot to do with the... I've had Xboxes more than I've had PlayStation in the past, so that might be a little bit of a bias. But when it comes down to it, it just looks like Microsoft is being more steadfast and pushing things a lot quicker than Sony is. So I feel like they're going to want to be the ones that get release their console first because they're being very aggressive with their approach to things right now. And like we said before, Sony is just kind of sitting back and we can't really... see what they're doing, it feels like.
Is it fair to say that neither one of them can afford the other to get, let's say, a year head start? They both have to be coming out within a month or two of each other. And I don't think, going back to 2013, you can't have Microsoft saying, well, I don't even know what the code name of that thing they're saying is now, but Scarlet, is that what it is? Scarlet cannot be $500 and PS5 is $400. They can't do that.
No, they can't. They can't.
They can't. I don't care how much powerful. I don't care if it's doing 8K 120. It doesn't matter.
43 teraflops.
Yeah, 43 teraflops.
Mad flops. Hold on. Don't put that microphone. Don't put that microphone down.
Whoa. On DeMarco.
Don't you? The battle continues.
Put that mic up. Here's my question to you, and this is the thing that I was thinking about as soon as you said that. We are talking about powerful machines, right? We're not talking about powerful software yet. We've kind of talked about some of that stuff. Talking about the future, do you think the kind of like tentpole games that I'm just going to talk about Microsoft because we kind of know what Sony's kind of banking on. The kind of tentpole games like a Gears or a Halo, do you think those games are still going to have the cachet?
No.
That when those consoles come out, that those are going to be the things that people care about?
Here's what's going to happen.
But that's what I'm saying.
Here's what's going to happen. Halo Infinite is 100% launching day and date with whatever Scarlet is. It has to.
Yes.
They cannot make that mistake again and not launch a Halo game. And not to mention what Halo 5 was. They got to try and prove to us that they fixed those issues. Basically, they really do. But at the same time, it might be too late. It might be. I do think Microsoft's problem is they need new IPs that matter. They need, and again, that's why they've been acquiring these studios.
They need to set the trend instead of following the trend.
Have they even been following the trend? And again, I'm not trying to say this as a bash Microsoft thing, but when you look back at their library the past 5 years,
they've been super safe.
Yeah, very safe and boring, to say the least.
Like, you know exactly what you're going to get when you go to a conference. You're like, all right, so Forza's coming, right? All right, so I know Forza's going to hit. Somebody's going to throw a Gears thing up there at some point, right? Yeah, somebody's going to throw a Gears thing up there at some point.
Think about Xbox 2019. We already know what it is. It's Crackdown, which okay, let's just get it out and be done.
Doo-doo butt cheeks.
It's going to be Gears 5, and it's going to be Forza Horizon 8. Yeah. Are we on now? Or yeah. Forza 8.
The Motorsport, 8. Motorsport
yeah,
series.
Yeah, Forza
but
8.
But I think Gears is going to be their last big game yeah, it is. For yeah. this generation. What do you think is going to be the last big game for PlayStation?
Last
for
of
the
Last 2. Of Us
2. The Last of Us 2?
Yeah. Last Just of Us 2 is going to give them the momentum to go into 2019 easy. Because okay. Naughty Dog doesn't miss. Like Naughty Dog, they is for as much as people like to poo-poo on some of the like internal stuff that goes on at the studio, they don't miss when they put out stuff.
What if? This is a big what if.
Oh Jesus.
Uh-oh, what if time?
What if, what if they don't
Here we go. Conspiracy
they hold,
oh, they hold
back
it?
On that game and release it for the next generation
console? Nah, that's
nah.
not.
Nah.
Wait. Which one?
The Last of Us.
No way in hell they do that. No way. Horizon Zero Dawn 2
but,
is going to be the
wait.
Big...
wait, it's going to be available on PlayStation 4, but enhancements on the PlayStation
yeah,
5
that's
version.
That's fine.
But it's like Zelda. It was supposed to come out in the Wii U. They hold. They were like, no, let's not release it. They released it both at the same time. Nintendo Switch and Wii U.
For the sake of selling the Switch.
Just to say we got yeah. this game out for, you know, first
you think,
party exclusive for the PlayStation
you
5.
You think people will tolerate that, though? Like if there's people,
they
already,
did with a Nintendo game.
Yeah, but those are Nintendo fans. They'll wait.
And
you
guess
know?
Which one
we
sold the most?
This.
Yeah, Nintendo fans don't care.
But Nintendo made that move. Guess which one sold the most?
Yeah,
the Nintendo Switch version. You
yes,
know,
right.
so
no one even talks about the Wii U
nobody
version.
Talks
yeah,
about,
yeah.
I mean, if they do, it's like barely.
Yeah,
but Sony could do the same exact thing.
I don't know. I don't think they could afford it because they don't have that many games coming out next year.
Death Stranding.
Next train ain't coming out.
It's not coming out in 2019.
Oh, but they announced it. It's summer
delayed.
2019.
No, yeah, they
no. I'm
nothing.
Saying it'll get delayed.
Yeah, they got to add
Norman Reedus yeah. and what's his name still trying to figure out what.
Yeah, they got to add Kanye's voice. They got to add Kanye's voice.
Made the game
to it
yet?
Now,
actually,
yeah. It's like video game art, Basel. You just sit there looking at it. You don't have no idea what they're doing.
Exactly.
All right, so I mean, I'm just saying, what if.
even the games that are supposed to be coming out, Tsushima, I think that game looks okay. It looks all right. It's an okay looking game. What's the other one that looks like Neo? Is another game that looks like Neo?
Shadows Die Twice.
Shadows Die Twice looks better than Tsushima in a lot of ways. People kind of know what that thing is going to be. I feel like what Sony is going to wind up doing, they can't, like you said, you can't hold off Last of Us 2. People are way too hype. They keep talking about it. They were showing. They had a thing out on Twitter the other week. Why did I sound like you for a husky? They had a thing out on Twitter the other week. What the thing?
Harris has left the building.
Harris got up.
where they basically had people. They like showed people crying from the last like Last of Us actual like trailer with that they showed, and people are still so excited about that game. That has to come out early.
Why? Like, why?
Because my thing is, because we'll think about it this way.
Honestly, yeah. Tony, you're a Sony fan.
We'll think about it this way. We'll think about it this way. The hardware parts, we all know it takes forever to get on your next SKU, right? Your next SKU, whatever. I'm sure they have dev kits right now. I'm sure they're in the know about what the dev kits are going to look like. But are they actually like programming to those dev kits now? I doubt that. There wouldn't be a reason for them to do it. Because I would want them to work on the stuff. If they were going to make that game for the PS5. I don't want any of that PS4 architecture touching that stuff. I want you to just be working on that hardware because then you get all the juice out of it. Mm-hmm. And your first party, you get to touch everything first. So I'm like, there's no reason for them to hold that game.
Yeah, I don't disagree that Last of Us 2, it's going to be on PS5, but I don't think it's just going to be on PS5. Like, they already promised it for PS4, you know? Granted, they did promise The Last Guardian for PS3. That didn't come out on PS3. Yeah. So Sony could pull that again. To answer your question, I'm the wrong person to ask about The Last of Us 2. Don't get me wrong. I like The Last of Us, but that's a game I personally can't play like a lot of. It's just so emotionally draining. Like I played it like once on PS3, once more on PS4. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. It's just too much. This next one's going to be the same deal. I play once and I'm done, you know? But other people love it. So I can't really answer why people love it that much. But but if they delay it, people are going to be pissed. I guarantee you that. So they can't. Like, I see what you're saying. It would be smart. Like, that's how you sell a system. But like you said, Horizon. Actually, I don't know about Horizon Zero Dawn 2 being like a launch game. Death Stranding, maybe, you know?
Guerrilla's going to have something at launch for PS5. That's just what that studio does. So if it's not Horizon Zero Dawn, they're going to, because I think they got two teams going right now. So maybe it's Killzone again. Maybe Killzone. They bring that back for PS5. Wouldn't surprise me.
Was that game good for the launch when
what?
It came?
Killzone?
Yeah.
It was average.
I was going to say, yeah.
Average. No. It was average.
So it wasn't like, remember they showed that trailer years ago for the PlayStation 3? Remember the look?
Yeah. The CG one, the fake one, Killzone 2. One. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, no, Killzone Shadowfall was not good. It looked pretty, but nope.
No. Okay. Anything else before we wrap it up?
I mean, we're circling back to like the devs and stuff like that, mm-hmm. or because I said it before, and I'll circle back to it again. Is CD Projekt Red? Is I can't think of, and you have to kind of look back again at where The Witcher 3 has ended up in terms of the way that it's being talked about now, as opposed to how The Witcher 2 was being talked about, really wasn't. Even that was a good game too. But you look at the hype around Cyberpunk, and I can't think of a game that is as popular as that right now, hype wise.
I have a curious theory. It just hit my brain, and so like gears are smoking for the first time in a long time. Knowing that, and sticking with the CDPR. Concept, knowing that Cyberpunk is being developed for the console experience, do you think that there has been communications between Sony and Microsoft and CDPR to launch at the same time?
Launch their consoles at the same time for that game?
Well, to so that game launches with one or the other. As, I'm not saying it's going to be a console exclusive,
no.
But that it launches, at the same time.
Oh. No. I don't see it. What I think might happen is maybe after the holidays, release it, maybe spring. If they do release on the holidays, will be a year later. Because it doesn't make no sense. Why release it? Let's say PlayStation comes out first. Why are they going to release it first on PlayStation and then a week later,
well, they
Xbox?
Said, they said it's going to be, you'll be able to play it on the One
yeah,
X.
But not for
or
launch.
The new one. Or it'll play on PlayStation 4
not
Pro
for launch.
And
it doesn't like honestly it doesn't make no sense, especially that they kind of have like a marketing deal, kind of not 100% for Cyberpunk. And I think Microsoft is going to take advantage, and they're going to run with it.
Yeah,
yeah, they're definitely going to do
they're
a marketing.
Deal. They're going to throw the wallet at that.
Yeah,
one.
For sure. Especially
wallet, checkbook,
that was
crypto.
That's everything.
That was the game that ended their press conference, and everybody
right. Oh, that's what I always think back to too. I mean, it might not have anything to do with it, but
console launch exclusive.
No, it was not going to be console launch exclusive.
No, I don't think so.
No, that would be a little too controversial.
No, that would be too. No,
that would be.
That's going to be one of those crossover games.
That would be huge.
Yeah,
that would
be crazy.
But
30-day exclusivity on DLCs and things like that. I don't know.
The sad part is I can see that though.
That's the sad part, I can see it. Hot take right there.
Well, Sunset Overdrive 3 goes to PlayStation.
He's not a fan of that.
He's not a fan of it, but they still do it though. No,
but
you know?
They've done it in the past and he's like,
done it though.
No, man. They're not going to do that. Anything else before we wrap it up?
Yeah, right.
Anything else? Because, you know, we're here. This is rare. A real
Speaking
moment.
Of rare, no, I'm just playing.
A rare moment.
No, I can't think of anything else right now, but I thank you for having me on with y'all.
No, no problem, man. No, thank you for joining
no,
us.
No, thank you.
Thank you for bringing
again,
your mic.
Once again, hawk your sites, dude. This is your opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw
Go
out
for
that
it,
shrine.
Twinfinite.net. We do news, guides, articles, features, anything you can think of, entertainment or games oriented. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Obviously, I want to thank you guys for having me on. A lot of fun. This is what we do like normally. People, when we're hanging out, we just talk about games. This is just a little bit more structured. But yeah, if you want to check me out, I'm on Twitter at Romudeth, R-O-M-U-D-T-H. If you check out the bio, it's going to have links to all my stuff. Geek.com, Comms Guide, Coalition, and my podcast Throwdown. We're going to have our year-end special soon. So please check that out.
Yeah, man. Well, actually, this is coming out in January.
Oh, okay. I hope you guys enjoyed the year-end special.
If you want to talk to me on the internet about why Red Dead is my most disappointing game of 2018, please hit me up at Kajakins, K-H-J-H-K-I-N-S. You can hear us always on the Spawn on Me podcast. Myself, Cicero Holmes, Sharif Jackson, coming to you from Chicago. You can hear that every Tuesday, and you can also hear us on Twitch and see us on Twitch on Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, make sure to check out their shirts too. TeePublic, right? TeePublic?
TeePublic. Yes, indeed. You can find the TeePublic /- Welcome to Bricago. You can find all our wonderful shirts and also shirts from GTR and the wonderful crew.
Definitely, man. What happened, Paris?
He's literally wearing a G-string right now in the corner. Just selling
leg out and everything. Yeah.
Baby oil bodysuit 2018.
But I have to say before we go, again, thank you all you guys being here. But I gotta give a special shout out to Tony. So I have to say this to your face because I know you already know this, but you have no idea how much I love this dude because this is my Twitter gossip friend. When we see something going down on the timeline, I'm in the DM. Bro, did you see that? I wish I could say something, but I can't. Every time. Oh, it's so good. So freaking good. I love you, brother. Love you, brother.
The Gossip Club. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Never. Absolutely. Been looking forward to actually finally having you on the show, Tony. I know we've talked about trying to get you out there when we've been at E3 and stuff like that. So I'm glad we finally got you up on the show. Khalif, as always, man, it's always a pleasure to have you. And new guy.
I'm pretty memorable.
Oh my god. Hope to see you at E3 in a couple of months.
Oh my god. I'm gonna come there with my name tag saying new guy. Yes.
Like, thank you very much.
Hey guy.
Guy.
My man.
I was just waiting for him to say the name. He just looked at me.
New guy. Help me out.
Yeah. No. All right, but head over to GamerTagWare.com and post your comments and feedback. And yeah, you can find us everywhere. Spotify, Pandora, Radio Public, and other podcast directories. And until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.